Welcome in to the 48 Minutes podcast on Bleav, presented by Bet Online. I'm Ross Geiger, joined alongside Bruce Bernstein of Pure Hoops Media and World B Michael Freer. This is the much awaited, highly anticipated Damian Lillard mega deal emergency podcast. But before we dive into things with a very special guest, football is back and Bet Online is your number one information source for all your sports wagering info with all the up to the minute stats, news, scores, and matchup breakdowns. Get the latest game odds, spreads, and totals for the NFL and college football at your fingertips with BetOnline's real-time updates on statistics, news, and odds. From week one all the way to the college football playoff and Super Bowl, BetOnline gives you access to the best football promotions and contests available anywhere online. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Remember to use our promo code Bleav, that is B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. And Bruce, let's start things off with you introducing our legendary guest.
Well, he'll be joining us in a matter of seconds. He's a legendary figure in 20th century basketball, both in college and in the NBA. And he's just seconds away from joining us. We'll be with him in just a moment. Our guest needs no introduction, but he's getting one anyway. Marcus Johnson is a basketball legend. He played on John Wooden's final NCAA championship team in 1975. He was National College Player of the Year in 1977. He was the number three overall pick in the 1977 NBA draft, spent his first seven seasons as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks before finishing up with the LA Clippers and the Golden State Warriors. His number 54 was retired by UCLA. His number 8 was retired by the Bucks. He's a 5-time All-Star, a 4-time Emmy Award-winning Bucks TV analyst, and he can still dunk at age 67, at least according to his Facebook page. Welcome to 48 Minutes, Marcus Johnson.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is where it all started. This is where it all began, huh? You guys got the ball rolling and look where it wound up
in our court. Real quick story, Marcus. One of my really good friends, a guy by the name of Marcus Edge, he was a researcher at ESPN. He worked with us. When he was in third grade, he had his parents change the spelling of his first name from Marcus to Marcus, as your name is spelled. He told you this one time at a Warriors game, and he said you looked at him like he was tripping. So you want to tell him he's still tripping or what?
No, not at all. You know how those things are. I'm honored that he felt enough about me as a basketball player to honor me with changing the spelling of his name. So after all these years, I want to make up for I was probably having a bad day. You never know what was going on in my life at that particular moment in time. You know how it is, guys, but I do appreciate that. It's funny. I've run into
absolutely
probably no less than 20 to 25 young men throughout the years that have, that have been named after me. Marcus Tuiasosopo, the quarterback, is one of those guys. This is
really
Manu Tuiasosopo was a UCLA guy, and so it's very interesting how I run into guys like that all the time who have that Marcus, and a lot of it had to do with their fans, their parents being fans, of mine during the 70s and 80s. So,
well, Marcus grew up in San Diego, so I'm pretty certain he was a big UCLA fan. So anyway, so all right, enough about Marcus Edge. Let's look forward, not back. What was your first reaction when you heard that Dame Lillard was coming to the Bucks?
It's funny. I was taking a nap, my old man nap, as I call it, in the afternoon, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I woke up and I had all these text messages, and is it true? Is it a done deal? Then my son Chris texted me and told me that it was a done deal, that Dame Lillard was a Milwaukee Bucks. So it really caught me off guard. I'm like everybody else. I thought Miami was going to be the destination, just a question of what they were going to work out. And so I was stunned. I was stunned and pleasantly stunned. But let me say this. Being out in Milwaukee, not closely following Dame Lillard, you know the numbers, 32 points a game and the deep shooting and all the stuff that he's brought to the table. But I wasn't really aware of just how good he was. You know, I thought, okay, we're getting a good player. Now let me look at some game film from Synergy. My good friend Matthew Curley hooks me up with the Synergy subscription. So I get a chance to look at any game, any player, college, pro, whatever. So I just started looking at Dame Lillard game footage in terms of pick and roll, a ball handler, spot up, coming off screens, all these areas where he rates out as excellent. And man, I was blown away with his offensive savvy. I knew he was a scorer, 32 points a game. Anybody that scores 32 points a game, the guy averaged 26 by second year. I could have scored 30 a number of years in a row if Nelly would have allowed me to do so, Don Nelson, but he wanted me to average 20 to 21 my third year. So I did that. But my point is that, so I appreciate a guy. Anybody gets 30 points a game, I don't care what era. I mean, you're doing work. And even though it's probably a little easier nowadays to score based on how the rules and everything have evolved over the last few years, but watching his footwork, watching his savvy, watching his change of pace, watching his in and out dribble, watching how he accelerates in a small confined space to get to the basket and separate from defenders, watching him dunk. I mean, you know, I didn't realize his athleticism was consistently at that level. And I'm watching him dunk four or five times, trying to dunk on people, dunking on people, catching bigs by surprise. And now I'm elated. So I went from being, you know, just kind of surprised and okay, we made a big deal with this center of the basketball universe to this point right now, man, I'm blown away. I'm blown away. I think this is going to be a remarkable pairing, great synergy between he and Giannis and Chris Middleton. Our big three, I think now the game gets easier for all of them. And I'm just looking forward to this season. It's going to be so much fun watching these guys operate.
I couldn't agree more with you there, Marcus. I was blown away myself. I mean, the Bucks now have two guys that were members of that NBA All 75 anniversary team, which is quite spectacular there. But when it comes to Giannis and Dame, I can't think of another star in the NBA with a closer mindset, worth ethic, and competitiveness similar to Giannis's. I think Dame really comes from humble beginnings. Obviously, went to Weber State, was kind of an overlooked guy coming, you know, going into college. You know, when you look at both of these superstars and you look at that duo, I mean, how do you think that will mesh personality wise? Do you see the same things that I'm kind of seeing?
Well, look, Ross. So what I did, you know, I've got to do my due diligence. So I called my good buddy Kevin Calabro. We worked together with the Sonics back in the 90s with those great Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, George Karl teams. And so Kevin has done Blazer games forever. Took a little bit of a respite a couple of years back, but he's watched Dame closely. So I want to get the dirt. Tell me the real deal about this guy. Look, he's got this great public persona. What's the real Dame story? Kevin told me flat out, and he and Lamar Hurd, his color analyst, he says Lamar often says that Dame is one of the greatest leaders in professional sports. So I'm like, what does he mean by that? Well, he leads by example. He shows up early. He stays late. He works constantly on his skill package, on his game, improving his craft. Not only that, he's a guy that treats everybody with dignity and respect, from the lowest ball boy, usher, whomever it happens to be, to the number two guy on the team, whomever that happens to be. And so I'm hearing all this stuff. And that just adds to my feelings about how good it is to have him in Milwaukee, because Giannis is from a similar ilk, humble beginnings, as we all know about his story. But Giannis is the genuine article. You know, he wears his emotions on his sleeve sometimes. I won't say to his detriment, but you know, he'll speak his mind, tell you how he really feels about certain situations, which was the impetus of probably of a lot of this happening the way it did. And it happened on 48 minutes, as a matter of fact. But but Dame Lillard, hey, I know you guys love that. Yeah, right. And I don't blame you, because when Giannis first said that on your show, I was like, oh, boy, here we go. You know, he's kind of stirring the pot. Where is this going to wind up? But, you know, it's interesting how things like that happen. And it is a testament to John Horst and our personnel people that they had the guts to pull the trigger and make something happen. And understanding that these windows of opportunity for one of the top, well, we were two, three players in the league between he and Jokic and Embiid, maybe top three guys in the world right now, you've got to maximize that window to get him another championship. And Giannis called it out. I'm a winner. I'm a Milwaukee Buck, but first and foremost, I'm a winner. And I want to see the same commitment to winning that I have. And by doing this, the Bucks executives showed Giannis that, you know, we want to win too. Look, that thing tasted so good 2 years ago. Hadn't won a championship in 50 years. The city, the Deer District. I mean, everybody's still on a bit of a high from what happened 2 years ago. And it's just, and some organizations would have stood pat and said, yeah, we got a champion, got him one championship over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, come on. But this organization understands that you still have a window to get things done with Giannis, with Chris Middleton, with Brooke Lopez, and the nucleus that we have. And I'm grateful as someone who's going to be sitting there watching game after game, calling game after game, that I get a chance to see how this thing comes together with such an outstanding talent as Dame Lillard. And to get back to your point, I mean, his from what I understand, talking with Kevin Calabro and some other people, he's going to bring just a great, great work ethic and attitude and everything that you like to see in a young ball player. Not so young, but all relative.
Yeah. Compared to us, he's young. Yeah.
Before this trade happened, the consensus was that the Bucks were still the favorite in the East going into the season. It was, we believe them, and the Celtics, perhaps. Boston, it took one or the other. They were, there.
I got
but
you.
Now with this deal, but it was really with those two being the favorites, we'll say that in the East, it really sounded though like the power was out West. So the teams, after the Suns made their moves, the Nuggets win the championship, LeBron gets to the conference finals, it seemed like all the conversation as far as NBA champion was West. Can you talk about how much this trade really just changes the outlook in the NBA?
Yeah, it does. I mean, the pendulum swings, I think, somewhat back toward Milwaukee. But when you got Bradley Beal and Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and then the kind of the fringe pieces they were able to put around them with the Portland deal, I mean, you still like what they got going on in Phoenix. But I just believe that Milwaukee, with the talent that we have, and it's not so much even the talent, which is always the major thing, but it's the experience of guys that have been there before and have won a championship 2 years ago and still have that taste in their mouth, still understand what it takes to come back, being down 2-0 to Brooklyn and beating them in the seventh game and being down 2-0 to Phoenix and coming back and winning that in sixth. You know, so these are guys that know kind of how to traverse that championship road. Pat Connaughton, between Giannis and I mentioned Brooke Lopez and Chris Middleton and these guys. And so I really believe that right now the league has taken notice. We are the center of the basketball universe right now, which means there's more pressure. We got a first-year coach, Adrian Griffin, who I'm really impressed with. He's got enough basketball savvy and experience with Nick Nurse in Toronto and his basketball journey is, sprinkled with being associated with some really, really top-notch coaches. So it's going to be a challenge. But that's the other thing, you know, and I don't know if this is just, you know, serendipity or what, but to hire Terry Stotts when we did, who coached Dame for, 8 years in Portland, had one of the top offenses in terms of offensive rating in the league, 3-4 years in a row, top four teams in the league. So if anybody can figure out and help Adrian Griffin kind of figure out the best ways to use Dame. And that's the other thing. People talk about, well, maybe Giannis and Dame, it's going to be issues about whose team it is, who needs the ball. They are two totally different players. Giannis is one of these guys who can get it, who will get you in position to win a basketball game, you know, into the middle of the fourth quarter. Now I've always said Chris Middleton was our closer. Now you've got a Dame Lillard, Dame time, Dame Lillard as one of the top clutch players. When you look at his clutch numbers the last 5 years in the league, that's going to help Giannis. That takes a lot of pressure off of him. You know, Giannis missed, 14, 15 free throws, I think, in that closeout game against Miami. And now you've got a guy that gets to the free throw line 10 times a game, and Dame Lillard, who's a career 90% free throw shooter, shot 91 last year. Man, that bodes well for being able to pull out close games down the stretch.
You know, when Giannis was on our show a couple of weeks ago, we played word association with him, and I said Drew Holiday, and his response was best teammate ever. I always saw Drew as like a super duper, like a super glue guy on this team. Not only was he just kind of a glue guy, but he was a super talented glue guy that did everything for them. Now, we know with Giannis and Brooke, they got great rim protection. But Drew's absence at the defensive end is going to be tough to replace. So I would ask you, will Dame's offense and, let's say, the Pat Connaughton grittiness be able to offset the loss of Drew's perimeter defense, Marcus?
Let me start off by saying that we appreciate the contributions of Drew Holiday. He was instrumental in bringing a championship to Milwaukee. His professionalism, his game management, his toughness, all those elements that he brings to the table have been nothing but major assets to this organization. But there's always a big but. But so we're saying Drew is what, top two or three maybe on-ball defenders in the league at his position. Jimmy Butler averaged 38 points a game against us in the playoffs last year. 38 points a game against Drew Holiday as the primary defender. This is an offensive game now, gentlemen. It's all about outscoring the opponent. So Drew, as good a defender, as great a defender as he is, Jimmy Butler, 56, 42, 35. I think his low game in that series was 25. Couldn't get him off the free throw line. You know, anytime you touch a guy now, so now it's all about outscoring your opposition. So Drew fulfilled his role admirably, more than adequately. It fulfilled it as well as could be expected. But now it's time to move on and understand that this game is about outscoring your opponent, especially in the play. We have been putrid. I forget. At one point, we were like 3-for-21 or something in the fourth quarter against Miami. And that's been a consistent recurring theme for this Bucks team in the Mike Budenholzer in this era. And no knock on Mike. Our defense has been the thing that sustained us. But offensively, especially in fourth quarter situations, man, we have just not been able to deliver. And so this is another thing that the organization has been able to address with the acquisition of Dame Lillard. Yeah, he's going to give up something defensively. But Drew averaged, I think, 17, Jimmy 38. So he's outscoring him by like 20 points a game. That's not going to happen with Dame Lillard. So Jimmy will still get his. I mean, we can find somebody else that'll hold Jimmy to 38 points a game. But now Dame Lillard is going to go out there and get his 30 to 35 in given situations and match him bucket for bucket down the stretch. And that changes the dynamic. So I understand what we're saying about the loss of a great defensive player. But the game has evolved. This is an offensive game right now. And you need elite offensive talent, I believe, to win in this league.
Now, Marcus, with Media Day just around the corner on Monday, you know, of course, this is a huge dramatic change at the last second here. How big is it for the Bucks, especially with a first-year head coach and Adrian Griffin, to kind of change the narrative? I mean, obviously, the last couple of weeks, it's been a lot of pressure and stress on the Bucks, whether or not they could keep Giannis. Obviously, they made a move like this to show their commitment to winning, to win now with Dame Lillard. How big is it going into Monday now that they've made this trade? I mean, they've showed they're all in. How big is that for this team to not have that distraction?
Well, I mean, it's major. I mean, the city is buzzing. My barbershop king cuts on Hampton Avenue. I'm getting texts from everybody about the trade and do I like it and how do I feel about it. And people are excited about it. You got everybody talking about it. And so that in itself, you generate that kind of interest going into training camp. You know, that kind of slingshots you, catapults you into a running start going into camp because now you can, you know, legitimately set your sights on a championship. Not that you couldn't do it before with Drew. You could. But now this has enhanced your opportunities even more. So just to have that dynamic in play with this team, new coach, fresh approach, new coaching staff, and now you've got a dynamic new player coming in also. That's the kind of energy that you can thrive off of as a basketball player because now it's not stagnant. Everything is changing around you, and the optimism is going to reign supreme, and you just can't wait to get out there and try and fulfill all the expectations that people are throwing at. You know, you embrace that. John Wooden talks about competitive greatness, how you enjoy a difficult challenge. And my thing is you embrace a difficult challenge. These guys have competitive greatness. I'm talking about Coach Wooden's pyramid of success. They've got that competitive greatness, and now they've got even more so of a reason to get out there and have the adrenaline, you know, just off the charts and the energy off the charts and having something to look forward to get you through the drudgery of tour days and all that starts off the beginning of the year. And now you're doing it with a whole different attitude. So from that standpoint, this is the timing couldn't have been more perfect.
And now, Marcus, the million-dollar question here before we get into our halftime break is, will Milwaukee win it all this year? How you feeling?
Well, we got to stay healthy. That's obviously, that's always number one. If we stay healthy, our key guys stay healthy, it's just going to be tough to beat this team right now because our biggest, most glaring weakness was falling apart offense. Look, man, the recurring nightmare that I have all offseason is Giannis getting a defensive rebound to Miami. We're down 128-126. He pushes up the floor, passes to Chris, passes to Grayson. We can't get a shot off in 10 seconds to tie a two-point basketball game or possibly win it with a three. I'm 67 years old. I'm getting a shot off. You know what I'm saying? If I got to turn my back, I'm going to get a shot off. This team could not get a shot off. And that was a microcosm of the offensive deficiency and struggles that this team has had for a number of years now in close games. And that's what made Chris Middleton so valuable and his injury situation and how it impacted him. Some personal things he went through impacted him, really hurt us because he was our closer. And now we've got two guys and who can close in a Dame Lillard Dame time who really relishes and embraces those types of high pressure situations. So that to me is the key. That's going to push us over the hump. And I think going to make us the team to beat not only in the Eastern Conference, but in the NBA this season.
Definitely exciting times. And Marcus, we appreciate you being with us. We've reached our halftime buzzer. We're going to take a quick break and come back with you for a quick second half.
Okay.
And we're back with the start of the second half. Bruce, you're on mute.
So thank you, Ross. Marcus, Blazers general manager Joe Cronin really kind of stuck it to Miami by holding out for a better deal than what the Heat offered. And trading Dame to Miami's conference rival was a really nice little twist of the knife on top of that. Okay. But now that the Blazers have Drew Holiday, you'd think, you know, maybe Miami might want to discuss a deal for him. So as far as front office drama is concerned, this is pretty hard to beat, isn't it?
Oh, man, this is great because as someone who's gotten to know Drew over these past 3 years or so, you know, you want to see him in a position where he can succeed and have an opportunity to compete and win. And listen, I'm not going to say compete for a championship because we want that to come to Milwaukee, but you want to see him be in a situation where he's having fun, he's winning, he's in the playoffs, he gets a chance to shine. And so there's some options out there that are available to him. But I forget which baseball, Al Campanis, I forgot who it was that was known for acquiring players to keep the opposition from getting them. And so this is one of those kinds of moves also. Not that it was done for those reasons. It's a byproduct. It's a positive byproduct for the Bucks. But you're able to keep Dame from Miami and have him on your roster at the same time. So it's almost like a twofer. And him down in Miami with Butler and Adebayo and everything I'm seeing, watching him on videos recently, would have made them really, really tough for us to beat. And so we're just happy he wound up with us in Milwaukee.
So looking at the rest of the landscape for where Drew Holiday could land, of course, one of those teams is actually Los Angeles with the Clippers, where Drew Holiday is, of course, from. I mean, do you see this being a situation where he stays out west? Or do you think there is potential that a team like Boston could get in the mix for trade discussions?
Well, I think at this stage of his career, what is he like, 14 years in, came out after his freshman year at UCLA. I thought he was making a mistake, but it's turned out to be a great move for him. But I think he's at a point now where he's going to really evaluate, along with his wife, Lauren, kind of the situation that's best for him and his family. And you know, you got the Clippers, Ty Lue, players coach, you got Kawhi, you got Paul George, you got some really good talent. You got a great owner in Steve Ballmer about to open up a new building in another year or two here out in Inglewood in Los Angeles. So, you know, I mean, if I'm Drew, you know, and look, this is a different Milwaukee to Clipper dynamic than what I went through back in, because I was going from, you know, a great Bucks organization to Donald Sterling. So that's a whole different thing. You're going from the Bucks to a Steve Ballmer. That's a good situation. Boston, that's a good situation. The tradition, the talent, the wings, and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Porzingis and what they've got to put out there. He's got some really good options right now to look at. We talk about Miami, Philly. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, if they're willing to part with some of their assets, you know, he could be a thorn in our side in the Eastern Conference. We're hoping that he winds up out west so we don't have to see him, because he's still got some really good years left ahead of him where he can do a lot of damage against you. But he's got some great options. And so I'm thinking Portland is going to, you know, especially with Scoot Henderson being drafted, adhere to what we're hearing about right now, moving to a contender. And again, for my money, I would hope that it's out west as opposed to one of the powerhouses here in Eastern Conference. But if that happens to be the case, that's what makes the sport beautiful, man. It's all about competition, and you roll a ball out and you see what happens.
You know, Pat Riley and the Miami Heat aren't really used to kind of having it done to them the way it was done to them in this little deal here. You know, the Heat really kind of look like a team in disarray. They don't have Dame. They lost two starters from last season. Gabe Vincent is now a Laker. I know you're a big fan of his. Max Strus is a Cavalier. And with Tyler Hero kind of knowing, look, the team was ready to move him all summer long, how much of a challenge do you think Eric Spoelstra might have as far as from the standpoint of team chemistry and kind of rebuilding that? Are you concerned, or is that Miami Heat culture strong enough that that's not going to happen?
That Miami Heat culture is impervious to everything you just said. Any other organization, there, you know, the Knicks or somebody else, Nets, what's going on, I'd be concerned. But with Pat Riley, who is one of my favorite people in basketball. I used to play against Pat at the old men's gym at UCLA when he had the beard and the long hair and trying to get me to go to the beach and drink some beer and look at the pretty blondes out there and play volleyball. I wish I'd have taken him up on that, but he's seriously. But when I was coaching the Lakers, I digress here, but when I was with the Clippers, I had a great year, my second year, and I was told that he was the main guy in the coaches' meeting for the All-Star selection phone call that really, really – was instrumental in me being an All-Star my fifth and final time back in 1986. But Pat, his culture, Eric Spoelstra, you know, to me, the best coach in the NBA. You know, you can talk about Popovich and some of these other guys. Obviously, they're great coaches. But Spoelstra, for my money, his adjustments, his mindset, between that combination of Riley and Spoelstra, these guys are so tough mentally that they'll take this, however it turns out, and turn it into a us against them type of dynamic. And we're underdogs, and, you know, we've got to, you know, dig in and do what we can to show that, you know, they'll find a way to use this to their benefit. So I'm not concerned about that. Yeah, they lose Gabe Vincent, who I love. He was great in that final possession against the Bucks. He defended three guys and was the reason why Grayson Allen couldn't get a shot off when he denied a pass to the right wing. In that possession, Strus played well. I love his athleticism. He blocked the Wes Matthews layup attempt that just showed everybody that, you know, we were old and it was time for us to get more athletic, get some Malik Beasley legs in there, get some younger legs in there, Marshawn Beauchamp, get some younger legs in there that can deal with some of this athleticism in today's NBA. So, yeah, you know, it's just this season is just shaking up to be more exciting than I had 2 days ago, 3 days ago. I had no idea, you know, not like it was drudgery. I was looking forward to everything, new coach, new system, all that newness in Milwaukee. But now this takes it to a whole nother level.
Marcus, you mentioned earlier, you know, how this trade has created a buzz in the city of Milwaukee, you know, instantly, as it naturally would with such a big deal. People don't realize or forget whatever. Milwaukee's a really good sports town with a really good following, some really good teams out there. You know, the Packers, notwithstanding Thursday night here, as they're getting it handed to them by the Lions. But, you know, you do have the Packers, who are a name brand in the NFL, the Brewers, who are NL Central champs this year, and you got the Bucks, who are, you know, 2 years removed from the NBA championship. Can you talk about what it's like to be in that city, which is such a – do you consider it a really underrated sports town? Because you don't hear it talked about enough, I don't think.
Well, I think the finals against the Suns, the Deer District, and, you know, 7,500 fans watching the game from the Deer District out in front of the arena, and it just so happened that we had the good fortune of having the finals in July. So that made it a lot easier to enjoy the outside. But I think that gave that changed the perception of Milwaukee a bit, maybe nationally, just a little, maybe not a lot, but at least a little that it showed how rabid our fans are. Look, I played in Milwaukee from 77 to 84, good 7 years. And the one thing that I've always appreciated is that our fans don't get like New York fans or Cub fans or whomever. They don't get, you know, overly dejected by failure as long as you go out there and you give them an honest day's work. And they appreciate effort. They appreciate energy. They appreciate, you being civil in public situations. They don't bug you. They don't hound you for autographs, that whole thing. So it's a different mindset with Milwaukee people that I really love. And I think the fact that we were able to put it together the way we did a couple of years ago, Coach Budenholzer and staff, and the way we won the championship down 2-0, as I mentioned, the Brooklyn and the Phoenix Suns come back and win those series, that would probably be enough for this fan base to live off of for a few more years to come. So, you know, kudos to management for understanding that you got to maximize Giannis's window. And let's bring another one home to Milwaukee. So trust me, the fans are going to be just super appreciative of the fact, whether we win it or not, that the organization is at least going for it.
Now, Marcus, last question here. You of course, mentioned the finals against the Phoenix Suns. Of course, this is a three-team deal. Another championship contending team was involved in this deal, with DeAndre Ayton being shipped out of Phoenix to Portland. What are your thoughts of them moving on from their young talented center, and what's your outlook on Phoenix moving forward without DeAndre Ayton, and also in a very unique circumstance where they don't really have a true point guard? They have Brad Beal and Booker in that backcourt.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a challenge to kind of figure things out, and three ball dominant players who are all capable of dropping 30 points a game on you is also another challenge. But again, in today's NBA, which is a lot more scoring oriented than ever before, that can't do anything but help you. And then the marginal pieces, the pieces around the margins that they picked up in this deal, what they've got coming back, they'll be okay. They're going to be tough. I mean, anytime you got Kevin Durant healthy and playing as he is capable. Now, he slowed down a little. I got to say that. You're not able to just carry the load 48 minutes, 82 games in the course of a year, but he won't have to now with Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, as you mentioned. So, they're still, top 2-3 with the Lakers. Denver's lost a little bit, Bruce Brown leaving. I mean, a little bit, but people talk about like that's a devastating blow. But as long as they've got Jokic and the guards and Aaron Gordon and some of these guys who played so well all season long last year, they're going to be tough to beat. So, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun year because you've got so much, so many guys changing, so many star level players kind of changing scenery. I mean, Lakers pick up a Christian Wood who played with us, the Bucks 3 or 4 years ago. He's going to help them. He's a guy that can give them 15-8 on a given night, and they miss guys like that. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be competitive. It's going to be challenging, and it's given NBA fans something to look forward to.
Absolutely. And Marcus, we want to thank you again for joining us here on the 48 Minutes Podcast by Believe. We wish you the best of luck this season. We'll definitely be locked into Bucks games with you on the call, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And with that, that will do it for this edition of the 48 Minutes Podcast on Believe, presented by Bet Online. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back with you next week to be sure you're up to date in 48 on all things around the association. Take care, everybody.